Open up with me this morning to Daniel chapter 3 this morning. Daniel chapter 3. Today we're going to talk about the three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and their faith and their fiery furnace trial. And the title of this is going to be Bend, Bow, or Burn. Bend, bow, or burn. And let's take a look at Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 8. You bring your Bible this morning, let me hear you say amen.
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 Thank you. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. We're going to read down through verse 25, so pay attention and make sure I ain't reading out the Reader's Digest, okay? Verse 8, Daniel chapter 3, said, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Verse 10. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in sympathy with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Verse 15. Now if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who would deliver you from my hands? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not worship your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. Verse 20. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." Verse 25. "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God."
Amen.
Let us keep reading, please. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Verse 27. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God." Verse 29. "Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this."
Amen.
Can I have amen?
Amen?
There is no other God who can deliver like this. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Amen.
Wow. Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is alive and it's powerful. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of the Old Testament that lifts our faith today. And Lord God, today, help me preach the word and teach the word under the anointing and the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit. I acknowledge without you, I can do nothing. I need your help, Holy Ghost. And I thank you for lifting up Jesus in this place, the fourth man. Oh, we praise you, Lord, for you are good and you are well able to deliver us from our trials, from our furnaces, from our persecutions these days. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
All right. One thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do was compromise their faith. They took a stand.
That's right.
They stood bold in the midst of their bodies being burned alive. I don't know anybody that's going to stand boldly much these days if they tell you they're going to burn you alive or you renounce Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I think a lot of the church today would fold. They'd give in to it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we need to be reminded that they didn't give up.
That's right.
They didn't give in. They took a stand against the king, even against his warning that he's going to throw them into a burning fiery furnace. Today, the church has got to make a stand. We got to begin to stand up in our day and hour.
Amen.
I was looking at Facebook, and I was looking at the television the other day when they opened up the ceremonies in France, and I have never seen such demonic activity in all my life
as
I've seen in that opening ceremony.
Right.
I don't know how many of you got to see it, but I'm telling you, they were demons flying everywhere that you couldn't see.
That's right.
They began to lift up Baal worship.
Amen.
In the Olympic golden rings, they had the bull and the head of the bull that represents Baal worship. Mm-hmm. Even in the Old Testament, when Moses didn't come down off the mountain, the people begged Aaron, the priest, to make them a golden calf.
Uh-huh.
And that they could see and that they could worship. This is known as Baal worship in the Old Testament. And they put the bull's head up in one of the rings on the Olympic circles. And that is a picture of Baal worship. They were promoting Baal worship. And they also showed a picture. They showed two pictures. They showed one of the Last Supper picture that many people recognize throughout the United States of the Lord and his 12 disciples at the Last Supper, breaking bread and taking communion. And above that picture, they showed both, but above that picture, they showed homosexuals. They showed a woman that represented the gay community, the LGBTQZ. I don't even know. That's just the alphabet. I can't even say all of them. But they had a woman sitting where Jesus was sitting that represented the transsexuals. And they had transgenders and homosexuals where the disciples would be in this picture over the Lord's Last Supper, which was nothing but a huge mockery of Christianity.
That's right.
Huge mockery of the Christian faith. They don't, you know, I don't know. I tell you why we get such huge persecution in the Christian faith. It's because we are the only ones that the devil is after, because we are the one and only true, hallelujah, Christianity, the only true faith. There is no such thing as, you can't get to heaven through Islam. You can't get to heaven through Hinduism. You can't get to heaven through Buddhism.
Right.
All these other ones, the devil don't spend his time on trying to misrepresent or to make fun of them. He don't waste his time on that.
Right.
He tries to downgrade Christianity. And when I've seen this, it should make us furious with a righteous indignation.
That's right.
For our faith in Christ Jesus, that such a nation as France, on such a huge stage, would show such a mockery of Christianity. And it just goes to show you that the times that we live in are evil.
That's right.
We are living in an evil day, an evil time, and the heads of our governments, whether it be prime ministers, whether it be kings in other lands, whether it be presidents, whatever, the devil has his hand on a bunch of governments, a bunch of leadership in other countries to downgrade Christianity. That's because the devil has his hand on France, or they would not have permitted such mockery of Christianity.
Right.
So we need to be praying for France. I seen something this morning. I don't know if it's true or not, so don't take me as it's official. But I heard that after they had this mockery that they had a power outage in France. All the lights went out. But there was only one thing still lit up. And it was a church set on the hill called a sacred church that prays 24 hours a day, every day of the year. And that was the only thing that was still lit up when all the power went out. God was trying to show them there ain't but one way, there ain't but one church, there ain't but one light, and that is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 I'm telling you, God would not be mocked. I got to thinking, maybe, man, we need to get stirred up and we need to begin to fight. And I begin to think, this battle's not ours.
That's right.
But this is the Lord's.
Amen.
The Lord well able to stand up and take care of his name.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yep. I just hate to know I'd be in France anytime soon. I'd get me a ticket back to the house. Another thing that they did was they pranced a pale horse.
Yes.
On a white horse, a pale horse, came riding through with wings. Revelation says that pale horse will come in the middle of tribulation. That pale horse, on that horse, they said, would ride, death and hell would follow it.
Amen.
And a fourth of the earth would die
right
when that pale horse shows up in the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
So is God speaking to us?
I think so. Amen.
What's coming?
Amen.
The pale horse is about to show up.
Right.
The devil was mocking Christianity, not even knowing how dumb he is, that he's prophesying what is coming.
That's right. Amen.
But the devil, I think he's proud to be named death and hell.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ come to give us life and to give us more, give it to us more abundantly.
Amen.
On that stage, during, in that picture, was a picture of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm.
Y'all, we living in some bad days.
Right.
Where people don't have no fear of God.
Right.
These people in France obviously don't have no fear of God to do such a thing. In Daniel, as we read in Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 8 through 25 or so, we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had been taken captive out of Israel. Israel had been defeated by the Babylonians. And whenever the prophet, God had already told them that the Babylonians are going to take the people of Israel out and take them back to Babylon. And that they would be in Babylon as servants and slaves for the next 70 years. They took Daniel into captivity. They took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into captivity. And whenever these Israelites were taken into Babylon, there were some things that they tried to do to them that I see that the devil is operating today in the same spiritual warfare. One thing that they did when they brought them out of Israel and brought them into Babylon, they changed their identity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the name that King Nebuchadnezzar gave them.
That's right.
That was not their original
right
Hebrew names.
That's right.
And you can find that in Daniel chapter 1.
Right.
So they tried to change their identity by changing their names.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing they did, once they got them out of Israel into Babylon, they tried to put, they began to pile on the culture of the Babylonian system.
That's right.
They didn't want them to think like a Hebrew no more.
That's
they
right
didn't want them to think like an Israelite no more. They wanted to transform the way they thought and become Babylonians.
That's right.
That means they wanted them to forget about Jehovah God.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted them to bow down to the false god that was in Babylon.
Right.
They wanted to change their identity. They wanted to change their culture.
Mm-hmm.
What we have in here in America today is an attack on our identity of who we are. We are the United States of America, and we are born as citizens, as an American citizen. And if you were born here, you were born as an American. I identify as an American citizen whenever I travel. Hallelujah. My passport says I come from the United States of America. My identity, my roots are from here. And what the devil's trying to do in our nation, he's trying to remove our identity. In our school system, they're trying to take out U.S. history. They're trying to promote things that don't identify with where we came from, where our roots were from. And they don't want us to remember who we really are.
That's right.
They're trying to change our identity. But the devil is a liar.
That's right.
And he's also trying to change our culture in America. It's called a woke generation.
That's right.
They don't want us to think as Americans. They want us to think, and not only Americans, but Christian. Our country was founded on Christian values. It was founded on the Word of God. And this woke generation don't want to have nothing to do with God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, or the Word of God. They are pushing an agenda that thinks killing babies are okay, abortion is okay, homosexuality is okay, transgenders are okay. They want to push sin is okay in this world today.
Come on.
It ain't never going to be okay.
That's right.
In the eyes of God. And it should never be okay if the church is following God. It should never be okay in the church.
That's right.
The church has gone into a spirit of compromise. It has compromised the truth. It's compromised its ways. It's compromised the holiness of God. And we have let so much garbage come into the church that the church don't look like the church no more. It don't resemble the church. We've lost our identity. We've lost our culture in the church. And we lost our way. And all we got is a weak, broke down church.
Come on.
Preachers won't preach what the truth said. They are preaching to itchy ears.
Right.
They are preaching to people that want you to please them and to scratch their back, tickle their ears, but don't tell them what the Word really said. And if you tell them what the Word really said, the elder board will call the pastor into the office and say, we want to discuss something with you, Pastor. You're preaching too hard these days. If you want to fill this place up, you're going to have to lay low on some of these areas and just preach a good, sound good, an encouraging message every Sunday. And if you don't surrender to what we're telling you, we're going to have to fire you. And a lot of time, the pastor compromises. We're going to withhold our tithes. We're going to withhold our offerings unless you start preaching right. And the pastor said, a lot of times the pastor in many churches start compromising. They said, well, okay, I got to back off of it a little bit. I got to back off of it. That's compromise.
Amen.
When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was confronted by King Nebuchadnezzar,
come on,
that are you going to either bend, bow, or you going to burn? Which one is it going to be? Because if you don't bow down and worship my gods and the golden image that I have set up, your boys are fixing to go into the burning fiery furnace. You're going to bend, you're going to bow, or you're going to burn? Which one is it? And they answered back boldly because they still knew who they were in Christ Jesus.
Right.
They said, O King, we want you to know something about our God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That maybe you don't know yet.
That's right.
But we want you to know that our God is well able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace
right.
that you're going to try to throw us in. We want you to know he's well able. And we need to go a little bit further because everybody in here knows what God is capable of doing. But they made the bold statement, not only is he able, but he will.
That's right.
But he will. Deliver us from this fiery furnace. And God made a choice that I'm not going to deliver them from the fiery furnace, but I'm going to take them through the fiery furnace. I'm going to take these boys through what nobody else has ever been able to live through. And it's going to be a testimony to the king. It's going to be a testimony to the satraps, to administrators, to the counselors, all those in high positions in Babylon. They're going to know there's a God in heaven that's well able, and he will deliver his children from the wrath to come. Amen. Glory to God. I thank God for people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had backbone. They remember what the Word of God said. When Nebuchadnezzar said, you got to bend, bow, or burn, they went, I believe their thinking went right back to Exodus chapter 20,
hallelujah,
verse 3 through 5, where the first commandment that was given to Moses was, thou shalt not bow down to any graven images.
Right.
Thou shalt not have any, shall not make any, and shall not bow down to any. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they took them out of Israel, took them to Babylon, but they kept, hallelujah, their identity and their culture in the midst of all that.
Right.
You have got to stand up. You got to keep what Jesus wants you to keep. You got to keep this word alive in you. You got to be bold. You got to make a stand no matter what the world comes at you and tries to afflict you with or persecute you with. You got to stand your ground, church.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to become part of the woke culture.
That's right. That's right.
You don't have to be a part of that. The Bible called you to come out and be holy, for he's holy.
Right.
He sanctified you.
Right.
He washed you,
yes,
in his own precious blood.
Right.
Hallelujah. We got to make a stand, church.
Yes.
Too many people are compromising these days.
Amen.
What is a compromise? It's where each side gives up part of something that it wants in order to get something done. It's where two people meet in the middle. We see compromise, and compromise sometimes in this world, sometimes it works. But when it comes to the church ain't supposed to be compromising.
That's right.
In this world, our politicians, they compromise all the time. They come in there, they want a bill passed. They want a budget passed. They want to do this and do that. And once the Republicans say, we don't want to do that, we're not going to vote on that, we can vote this down, and the Democrats come back to them and say, well, listen, we'll give you this if you'll give us that, and they go back in two and they meet in the middle, and finally they pass something that should have never been passed, but because they're compromising the American people, they're compromising holiness, they're compromising what God wants to do in our country. In marriage, sometimes we compromise. The wife wants to do something, the husband wants to do something else. The wife wants to watch one movie at the theater, the husband don't like that kind of movie, so they compromise. The husband said, I tell you what, if you'll let me in Longhorns, I'll go watch that movie with you. And they compromise. They go home and they still married.
That's right.
But they made a compromise. Sometimes compromise is not bad. But when it comes to the truth,
right,
when it comes to the gospel,
amen,
when it comes to the ways of the Lord,
hallelujah,
when it comes down to bending, bowing, or burning, you can't compromise.
That's right.
Because whatever you compromise to keep, you're going to lose in the end anyhow.
That's right. Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Whatever you compromise to keep, you'll end up losing in the end anyhow.
That's right.
I was thinking about it a lot of time. Young women have compromised their bodies.
Come on.
Because some old, I don't know what they call it, jackleg, comes into their life. Maybe he's the quarterback on the football team. He's handsome. He's tall. He's the star on the whole campus. And he starts dating this little church girl. And he begins to want her to change her beliefs. He's making some sexual advances, let's say that. Mm-hmm. Sexual advances to her. And she's trying to stand her ground because she knows she's supposed to keep her purity. Y'all hear me now?
Yes.
And he'll keep pressuring her and promising her to try to get this sexual advance, get her to give in. Finally, she compromises. And after she compromises, and the jackleg gets what he wanted, then he goes on to the next one. What I'm trying to say is, there's things in our life we don't need to be compromising.
Amen.
Because what you compromise to keep, you're going to lose in the end anyhow.
That's right.
And sooner or later, this jackleg goes down the road, and then you left brokenhearted, feeling guilty, condemned. That's how the devil works. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did something that the church needs to do today, and that's make a stand. And when they made a stand, they also found out that Nebuchadnezzar, he got so mad at them for standing up for what's right. Don't you know, whenever you stand up for what's right, the devil get mad?
That's right.
I mean, that's a good way to find out. I mean, if you ain't never suffered no persecution, you better check yourself because you might be walking hand in hand with the devil.
That's right. Come on.
Whenever you go against the road, whenever you go against the things of the devil and you begin to stand on for who God is and what God wants you to do, the world will begin to persecute
you. That's right. Come on.
They looked at Jesus and they began to persecute Jesus. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they also going to persecute you.
Right.
If you're following me, they're going to persecute you also.
Right.
But Jesus didn't give in either. He didn't go along to just fit into the crowd.
That's right.
He came to be the Messiah, and he was the Messiah.
That's right.
Amen.
The religious people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, he made them so mad because he kept sticking with the truth.
That's right.
So many people today just want to fit in instead of stand out.
That's right. Come on.
So many in the church today don't want to rock the boat.
That's right.
At the workplace. They don't want to rock the boat in the pastors don't want to preach the truth because they don't want to rock the boat in the church.
That's right.
They don't want to rock the boat with the money in the church.
That's
they don't
right.
want to rock the boat, so they begin to just level things out. But the church is getting weaker and weaker. The more we compromise, the weaker we become.
That's right.
So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made the king furious. And he said, I'm going to heat this furnace 7 times hotter.
Mm-hmm.
7 times more.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, it just makes me my skin cringe to think about falling into a fiery furnace. Y'all ever seen anybody skin melt?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been to burn centers where people, heaters have blown up on them and they somehow or another fell into the fire or a grill blowed up on them or something and the skin just melts off and it stinks and it's terribly painful.
Yeah.
So to think about going into a fire furnace is a big deal. It'd be a big deal for me. I don't know about y'all, but I'm telling you, if you ain't stationed and rooted and grounded in Jesus, you'll fold for that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we'll do today. King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're going to bow today in front of the king. When we get back to our room, we're going to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see that?
Yeah.
We're going to do it, then we're going to go back and we're going to ask for forgiveness. These guys said, no, we ain't bowing.
Come on.
I don't care what the threat is. 7 times harder, whatever it is. So they take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They take them in and they throw them into the fiery furnace. And the furnace is so hot that the mighty men that in the army of King Nebuchadnezzar, it burns them up on the outside. They ain't even in, and they get melted down. But they throw them boys in, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into the fiery furnace, and King Nebuchadnezzar goes around to the other end where he can look in and see what's going on, because he wanted to see it. This God that they got, it, where is he? Is he here? I want to see him. So when he goes in, he looks in there, and he said to his counselors, he said, wait just a minute now. Didn't we throw three men in? They said, yes, sir. We throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What do you see, O king? The king said, I see four men in that fire. I see four men in that fire. And they are loosed in that fire. They walking around in that fire. Looks like they having a party in there. Looks like they having a celebration service in there. I don't know what's going on. He calls out to them and said, come on out. So they come out. He began to examine them. Man, you ain't burnt. You don't even smell like smoke.
Come on.
Your hair ain't even singed with all that heat.
Come on.
My goodness. And then the king began to make a declaration. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their God is the real God. Amen. Amen. So you see the reason that we have to make a stand sometime. And so the world will see and be convicted that our God is the true and the living God.
Amen.
But we want to be delivered from the fire instead of go through the fire.
Uh-huh.
But God sometimes said, my child, you got to go in it this time.
That's right.
You got to go in that fiery furnace. And if you'll go in by faith, and if you'll make a stand by faith, if you go in, I'm coming out of heaven, I'm going to leave my throne, and I'm going to come down in there, and I'm going to protect you, I'm going to watch over you, we'll have us a good time in that fire.
That's right. Hallelujah.
So when you make a stand, Jesus sees. And when you make a stand, he makes a stand.
That's right. Come on.
In the book of Acts, I think it was chapter 8, Stephen was being persecuted for being a Christian and spreading the gospel. And all these religious leaders got around him. All the people gathered around him. And Stephen preached one of the most anointed sermons you'll ever hear spontaneously. He did it with all the Holy Spirit that brought it out of him. He didn't have notes and reading, and he was just preaching the word. Started all the way back from the Old Testament all the way up to Jesus. And the Bible said when they heard him preaching, that they began to gnash their teeth, close their ears. It infuriated them that Stephen was so holy. And when they looked on him and they picked up those stones to stone him, they seen him and his face was glowing like an angel. And whenever they began to stone him, the Bible said that he looked up and there was a portal, an opening in heaven. And he seen the Lord standing up off the throne and looking at what was taking place. It goes to show me when you make a stand, Jesus gets up and makes a stand. He's with us, y'all, when we make a stand. But when we become cowards, when we compromise, whenever we do things like that, hallelujah, I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, you've lost something that you didn't have before. When you make a stand, when you go through the fire, you come out stronger than when you went in. But you've got to be willing to pay the price, even if it costs you your life. One day there's coming a day when we're going to be threatened by a man called the man of perdition, the man of sin. It's going to be Satan's son. He's going to be called the Antichrist. And people that are still here on the earth, he's going to kill them. He's going to have them beheaded for their faith in Christian, in Christ Jesus. He's coming after them. He ain't worried about the Buddhist. He ain't worried about the people, the Muslims. The devil's already got them.
That's right.
The one that constrains him, the one that constrains the Antichrist today, is the church of the living God.
Amen.
The true church. The true remnant of the church. The church that still will make a stand in our day, and that day is a day of evil.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord have mercy. We got to make a stand. We ain't the compromised church. Who is that fourth man? Who is that fourth man, you may ask? Who is that fourth man? I'm going to tell you who that fourth man is. In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. Who is that fourth man? In the book of Acts, he's the Holy Ghost. In Romans, he's the justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's our sanctifier. Who is that fourth man? In the book of Galatians, he's the Redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the Christ of unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he's the God that shall meet all your need. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who is that fourth man? In Philemon, he's the beloved brother. In Titus, he's the faithful pastor. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. In the book of James, he's the great physician. In the book of 1 and 2 Peter, he's the chief shepherd of the sheepfold. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he's the God of love and the God of life. In the book of Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. Who is that fourth man? In the book of Revelation, hallelujah, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the first, the last. He that was dead, but is alive forevermore. He's the faithful and the true witness. He holds the keys of death and of Hades in his hand. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. He's the bread that came down out of heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And besides him, there is no other. He is that fourth man. And if you're willing to go into the fire today, hallelujah, Jesus is willing to go in with you. There's only two things that didn't come out of that fire. And that's the shackles and the chains. The shackles and the chains didn't come out. They came out. Their clothes came out. Their hair came out. Their skin came out. They came out in every way. But the shackles and the chain that they were bound with didn't come out. They came out as free men. They went in bound. They came out free. You can do that too.
Amen.
Jesus will do that today.
Yes, he will.
Amen. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Latrita, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I wonder if we got any Shadrachs, any Meshachs, and Abednegos in this house today.
Yeah, hallelujah.
That if you face tomorrow with a man pointing a shotgun in your face and say, will you renounce Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Amen.
Will you bend, bow, and be set free? Or will you stand up for what's right and not bend, not bow, and will not burn? Because Jesus is with you. You make a stand, he makes a stand.
Yes, he does.
Amen. Y'all getting anything out there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're coming to a day. It's coming to a head.
Yes, it is.
The devil ain't hiding in the closet no more.
That's right.
He ain't hiding in the shadows no more.
No, he's not.
He's blatantly walking the streets of our nation. He's walking the streets of France today. And he ain't hiding.
No.
And he wants to press his agenda on everybody. I'm telling you, you do not bend, bow to the agenda of Satan. Just because they 400 homosexuals at your work, don't mean it's okay for you to become one.
That's right. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
No matter what nobody doing at work, you make a stand. You be holy. You stand apart. Whenever you make a stand, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, I'm telling you, his grace will be upon you. His anointing will be upon you. His hedge of protection will be upon you if you'll just make your stand.
Amen.
I always heard, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
That's right.
Lord, help us. Y'all stand with me this morning. Jesus is the Messiah.
Amen.
If you're watching us by media this morning, it was our honor to come into your home. I pray that the Holy Spirit touched you and gave you a holy boldness this morning to stand up and do what's right in this evil day that we live in. There's evil all around us. I want you to know Jesus Christ, if you'll, says that if you'll make a stand, he'll make a stand. He loves you. Don't give in to the attacks of the enemy. Don't be intimidated. Don't be moved by fear. Don't be moved by this woke agenda. Stand for what's right in this day. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, it's the biggest decision you ever gonna make on this planet. If you don't know him, you will miss heaven, and you will bust hell wide open if you don't know Jesus. He is the door into heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that laid down his life. He was crucified, and on the third day he rose again to give you victory, and so you could be born again. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must repent. You must be saved to go into eternity, into the kingdom of heaven. Choose this day whom you will serve. If you choose Jesus, you'll live. If you're a Muslim, a Hindu, or a Buddhist, or whatever, I don't care what you are. If you ain't Christian, you ain't going to make it. I'm sorry. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Jesus shed his blood. It was pure. It was holy. And it's the only way your sins are going to be washed away is through the blood of Jesus Christ. He loves you. Give your life to him. There's nothing he can't set you free from. Make your decision now. Don't put it off. We love you. And thank you for tuning in. Jesus is Lord. Amen. God bless you.